Wagering Pass of the county. I've got Cynthia Adai Robinson.
All right.
Sally O'Connor.
Hi.
Good morning.
Hi.
So we're... Go for it?
Do it.
Ben?
Yes.
All right. Doing this movie, this character who seems to be missing elements of his personality, what did you find the challenge of the role? Is there a connection that the big company we see is robotics and he's semi-robot?
Well, it was a very challenging role, and it required a lot of research, and Gavin and I went around and spent time with people, who are at various places on the autism spectrum and observe behavior and talk to them and gauge them in, everything from what their daily life is like to what kind of a movie they'd like to see about someone with autism. And got a lot of different responses, but really the value was just in, grounding the guy and making him like real people that we had seen and met in real life rather than just an imagined version of what it might be. So it was, it was a cobbling together of observed behaviors and character traits from people that we met, and that's what I anchored the performance in.
Do you see any connection slightly with Bruce Wayne at all, this man who's an Avenger but also, perhaps has...
I think it's different. I mean,
equally good looking.
Same chin. That's all they need to say. If you stretch hard enough, you can draw parallels with a lot of different characters. But this is a really distinct, unique character in a unique film. That's one of what drew me to it was Gavin and his work and the fact that it was very unusual. You think you're getting one kind of movie, and I think then you get something in my view that's smarter and more interesting and more challenging, and that has thematically, resonant about people who are different and what they're capable of, and it's about how we try to protect our children from harm and in some ways harm them more by doing so. And that was what interested me about the movie.
Okay, thank you.
Just to kind of follow up on that, I was going to ask you about the autism spectrum and finding where to actually place this character. Was there something particular that stuck out with you when you did your research and kind of with the little mannerisms, like when he kind of like blows on his mm-hmm. fingers or stuff like that?
Yeah, that's all stuff that I just picked up and observed in people. And there wasn't any one person who we kind of like thought, okay, we're going to build the character on this guy. It was more kind of Gavin and I going through and meeting people and observing things. And when we'd see something that felt close to what we were doing in the movie, we kind of make a note of it, or just to kind of exchange a look. Okay, this works for us, because we wanted to make sure we were doing something, realistic and rooted in reality. And so, it was about putting together those behaviors, and a lot of them were observed, and some of them are stolen, and that's the way you do it.
My question for Ben as well. It's a following up Bruce Wayne questions. It's that this movie you have action sequence as well, and Bruce Wayne has action in the Batman movie.
Yes.
So that training helped to play this character. And do you think who win if they against each other?
I've only thought about beating Jason Bourne. I haven't thought about this matchup.
You kick Bourne's ass for sure.
I'm not sure how helped the Bruce Wayne training.
It was helpful. It had to be. This was a lot of, Gavin was very concerned with that the action be real and good and something he's done, really well, and Warrior, for example. And so training was as much a part of this as it was for the Batman movie, In fact, even more so, because it's a lot harder for the stuntman to do your... to do your stunt when you're not wearing a mask, so I had to really be on top of my game and work hard with some really great professionals who were very helpful and really good at this stuff and educated me about this fighting style, and it was a learning experience, and I've had a lot of respect for the guys who do it for a living.
And JK and Cynthia, can you tell us a little bit about what drew you to this project and what was your favorite part about playing these characters?
Ladies first.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Good morning, everyone. I just really appreciated the originality of the story and the central character, and it just, and of course, getting to work with all these incredible people. And yeah, it just feels like a movie that feels quite different from, I think, what a lot of, you know, what a lot of what we're seeing right now. So I'm just excited to be a part of it all.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I was very drawn to the script by Bill Dubuque initially. How smart it was! How what an interesting blend sort of genres it is. That it's, you know, it's an action, adventure, puzzle, drama, a little bit of a soapbox movie, really, in a way, about people on the spectrum. And having seen Gavin's work, I actually immediately went and got the DVD and rewatched Warrior remind myself of what I had loved about that movie and about Gavin's work as a director, and then to, you know, this guy on my left, you know, pretty good. it was that combo that really made it a no-brainer.
Good morning, Bruce Kirkland, Toronto Sun, Sun Media in Canada. A question for Ben. Given that you're now working in a small other franchise with The Big Mask, is it important for you at this point to take a complex role like this and then also create one of your own in your forthcoming directorial film, Live by Night? Did I get the
title? I think it's important for, yes, Live by Night, that's right. Live by Night, coming soon. It's important just for me and for my, I don't know, I'm not much of a sort of tactician when it comes to what a career should look like. I'm not a big believer in that sort of, you know, strategic 30,000 to 6,000 feet sort of level planning. It's more about projects that interest me and move me. And part of that is variation. You know, you would get bored doing the same thing over and over again. I'm lucky I had a chance to do in these three movies, as you say, Batman, and then this movie, which is completely different, and Live by Night, which is completely different, and it keeps me activated and engaged and hopefully doing my best work.
And does that actually allow you then more freedom of going back to the Batman character in the forthcoming films? In other words,
that's too far away.
Oh, okay.
There's a quote from Miss Anna Kendrick in the press notes about how she was sort of enjoying watching Ben and Gavin geek out a little bit about the action sequences. I'm just wondering if you can explain as what that might look like or how you did geek out about them.
Let's just explain that. I mean, it was very, it was a lot of fun. You know what I mean? And Gavin, in, you know, really worked hard on figuring out what they were going to be and making him real and bringing in experts, and the stunt guys were great and the fight guys were great. And it was, you know, Gavin can talk about how he put that the action sequences together. I was thrilled to be part of it. It's just fun, right?
Yeah, so we had, it started with figuring out what his style of fighting would be. And then, sort of doing a dissection on the character, it felt like Chris would just want to eliminate people as efficiently and quickly as possible, in a mathematic way. So there was a style which we discovered called a pentox slot, and once we started climbing inside the philosophy of pentox slot and the style, and it was very cinematic and kind of flashy but very efficient. And when we honed in on that, then we just, you know, our guys just started training Ben. And Ben trained every single day, learning how to fight pentox a lot. And so I guess for, what's that?
Can you spell that?
Yeah, it's P-E-N-T-A-K-S-I-L-A-T. It's Indonesian style of fighting, yeah.
Thank you.
And then, you know, I guess we geeked out on it. It was fun. It was fun.
I don't think it really... I don't think you can call it geeking if you're doing like tough guy shit.
I'm quoting Anna.
Actually, following up on that, how is it making the numbers scary as well as the action? Like finding the balance between his brain and his brawn.
Well, I was more comfortable with the action part of it. You know, the whole scene where we get to sort of, you know, it's the journey into Chris's mind in the scene where he deconstructs the books. That was, as I'm sure Ben can attest, I was terrified of that scene. So we had probably overthought it, but I wanted to make sure we got it right because it was a journey into his mind. So, and I kind of approached it like an action scene.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, it was a visualization of his super brain.
Hi, I just wanted to say I really love the film, and I was really moved by the moments of family in this. My family dictated a lot of what all the choices of the characters did, and between the father and the son, and even Cynthia and JK's character. And so, Ben, I had a question for you. The dad in this movie, when your character was young, he was pretty harsh, I would think. But I wanted to know, did it make you think about parenting styles? And because he did it all out to protect the boys.
Yeah, that's what I thought was the most heartbreaking thing about the story and definitely moving to me. As a parent, you know, I face dilemmas like that we all do every day about what's the right way to raise children? What's the right thing to teach? And every time, every little moment, there comes a crossroad and you could, you know, there's a lot of different choices you could make. Parenting choices, and we all make mistakes for sure. But you know, we kind of try our best, and it's driven. You know, a lot of it's just when you have kids, all of a sudden you're sort of your, what's this expression? Your heart is like outside your body. All of a sudden now, and you feel so vulnerable, and like in this fear of child being vulnerable is very, very powerful. And I can see why it made for a really interesting character of the father, whereas it's a guy who's out of love and compassion and fear for his son, actually ends up kind of brutalizing him, you know, and abusing him. And it's a really interesting to look at, you know, how we use our how what's the appropriate way to channel the intense emotion we have as parents. It's not easy.
And a quick follow up. But what did you tell your daughters about Asperger's and autism, kids on the spectrum? Because you're playing that, and I don't know if they're old enough to...
Yeah, my kids are old enough. I've talked. They're like, when can you do a movie we can see? They don't. They just want to know what the rating is. That's all. You can see this when you're 25.
Gavin, can we just go back to this? This is such a strong story, and it's a great script. Can you just talk about how it got to you, and were there a lot of changes once you had the script in hand?
The puzzle of the script was just felt like it was so freshly conceived that we never touched that part of it. I think one of the things when Ben and I started talking that we both agreed upon was that in the flashbacks, we wanted to make sure that the audience understood how, when we meet Chris as an adult, how he became to be this person who had all these incredible skills. So the flashbacks were always there, but the thing that Ben and I did was we wanted to change the flashbacks to dramatize his father and the two boys, and to understand that this is a father, this was a dad that was... that loved his child, but he was applying his own philosophical beliefs in a way to raise him, because it could be a really cruel world out there for a kid like him. So he wanted to make sure his child was prepared for that, and that's how he did it. It was always generated by love, but parenting. It's like parenting isn't a sport for perfectionists. So, you know, he just did the best he could. And I hope it came across that he really loved his son.
When that scene where he's holding him, yeah, and he's freaking out. That's
yeah, I mean, he really loves that child. He thinks he's doing the right thing. And especially back then, you know, when he was a boy, we didn't know a lot about the spectrum. So and also the thing that we kept learning about autism and being on the spectrum is there's no one thing for everybody. It's different for everyone. So, we were trying to just depict it as honestly as possible.
Kind of going to that, I think this is probably one of the first like autistic heroes, and so you've done a really great thing for that community. In terms of doing that, like this is, I guess, for Gavin and Ben mostly. I mean, was there anything that you really were worried about, or like wanted to make sure that you got right?
Well, we wanted to make sure we got it right. The one thing I can. Ben and I always approached it from a place of honoring, respecting, celebrating. Like I keep saying, it's a great time to be different today in our world right now. So let's make a film about someone who's different and celebrate that person. They're not different in a bad way. They're just different. Like we're all different. So, for me, I love Chris. So I just wanted to, I wanted to honor him. That's how I was coming at it, and I can't control how, you know, people, you know, some parent who has a child on the spectrum says that's not my son. It's like, oh well, we weren't, you know, we were just doing Chris.
Yeah, I think, you know, Gavin points to is what we, it was at the root of what we wanted to do, which was be respectful and be accurate and to tell a truthful story, to not try to like sex it up or gloss over things. We just wanted to peer into the reality of that life. And also, I think it was a good thing showing that simply, you know, different can be different good, can be better, can be special. And obviously, it's anytime you have a character that's, you know, anytime you're going to deal with a real life issue like this that touches people's life and that is really important to some people, there are going to be a lot of people with really strong opinions and feelings. And our hope is that the people in that community on the spectrum of autism like the movie and like that it's a superhero story about them. That was what I got from the people that I met with. That's what they wanted to see. That's what they were excited about. And so I hope that's what we delivered on.
And this last part. Was there any pressure? Because I really liked how you're seeing with, kind of your love interest, how you didn't do the Hollywood thing where, you know, oh my God, like the barriers are broken, they're gonna kiss. I mean, but was there like any pressure, like, or any like kind of like, well, maybe we should do that to make it more accessible, or?
It would have been dishonest. That's the thing we just kept. You know, our GPS was always on how would Chris honestly behave? It was the small details of behavior that we were always going after. And, you know, it is, you know, it is a movie about connection. And you know, he was, so to meet someone that he can connect with, because she's different in her way. So that was, but also how he connects behaviorally, how he does it, we just have to be accurate and truthful. And what's one of the things I'm most proud of in regard to the film is, I think that when you get a really good actor to play someone that is a genius, it's an opportunity to, you can get, you know, and we've seen it where you can kind of show off a little bit. And I was really, really proud. And
like Matt did in Good Will Hunting.
I was not referring to Matt.
It's all right. It's all right.
No, I was not referring to Matt.
I think that was more in the writing, really.
but I'm just proud. It's just a very honest and restrained performance, and never, you know, never got seduced by trying to do anything that would be, you know, those temptations.
Hi. As a director and actor, do you think this is the most complex character you've done? Because it can't be on the that character can't be really all on the page, because it's all about mannerisms and awkwardness. I mean, was it difficult? Did you have to work on it a long time?
Yeah, it was a lot of work because we cared about getting it right. Because we certainly, the last thing we wanted to do was a cartoon version or a caricature or an oversimplification. because it is you know, this condition that people really have, and it's, and so. It was the more complicated, the better, because that meant it was more real. The people that we met, the people that we talked to, all had very complicated situations, complicated lives, some limitations, some abilities to do stuff that others were challenged with. You know what I mean? Sometimes it would be just like they're a genius pinball player. You know what I mean? Or whatever. There's an amazing spectrum of special gifts that we found as well. And so I think that to have it, yeah, it should feel complicated. It should feel, like you say, on the one hand, you have this instinct for he does want to connect, and he wants to connect very much, but some things can't be fixed. And it's not, he doesn't connect in the way that where he can put his arms around his woman and kiss her. But he connects with her in another way. And seeing that is, to me, what's complicated and what's interesting about it.
Is it up there? As far as complex characters that you've played?
Yeah, it's definitely the most complicated it's the most interesting character, I think, that I've played, for sure.
Gavin, as a director?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, you know, with every character, you do biographical work, and you just approach it like, I want to understand this person and how he moves and breathes and everything. But, you know, Chris was, he's a complex man. And I think it required a lot of research for us to immerse ourselves in that world and meet as many people as we can on the spectrum, so we can, you know, and we asked a lot of questions, and had great. We had one day where we sat in a room with like this, but everybody was on the spectrum, and we just had it was like a classroom, asking questions, answering questions, and just getting as much knowledge as we could so we can. Then it became like an amalgam of all these different sort of behavioral details that we were.
One thing that was interesting is that how funny, how much wit people had who had Asperger's. There was this enormous amount of, there were a lot of laughs in these conversations and a lot of funny observations, and I want to keep that aspect of it's just sort of wry, like observational, detached, but still, you know, because they can, I think humor is such a powerful form of intelligence. I was really moved by, so we wanted to try to do some, you know, but that, you know, walk a fine line, obviously not funny, haha, funny, like making fun of this character, but that he is witty in the way that he sees the world in his own unique way.
Remember that documentary we watched, Asperger's R Us?
Yeah,
it was a documentary. These guys were from Boston.
Yeah,
and there were four guys who have Asperger's, and they had a comedy troupe, and they did stand up, and I got hold of this documentary
exactly.
In its rough form, and we watched it, and it was brilliant. It's brilliant.
Ben, can you tell us a little story about meeting the people too? It must have been cool for them to meet you. What did they want to know from you? What
most of them were in Batman t-shirts.
And are you good at math?
There was a lot of the Batman character has a lot of fans. Turns out that's a well-known character. Yeah. So that was kind of fun. I don't think the movie had come out yet, but there. And then there are some people on the spectrum who just because of the way their social thinking works, they don't observe the same social niceties, you know what I mean, or observe, have a kind of tact. So, you know, I remember one girl was like, I've never heard of you, who are you? I'm just an actor, I don't even have to ever, so I got a lot of fun reactions. But the truth is, the biggest reaction was that people were psyched to be part of making a movie. And they understood they were coming up with ideas for a character and ways, and saying, well, what I do is this, or what I think about is that, and sometimes this happens to me. And I found like just those people really want to volunteer and help out, and were much more. It was also educational because I had this idea of autism as being withdrawn, and you know, these people were actually quite enthusiastic and engaged and fired up about participating, you know, just in, you know, their own unique ways.
And are you good at that?
I'm sorry, but there was one guy, do you remember the one guy, that there was a guy sitting in the audience like this, and he was like rocked.
Yeah.
He was just rocked. He was like 25 years old, 24 years old, but he was like just rocked, and he didn't really say much, and then at one point we were like, what's your name? And he said, and we found out that he was like a high school state champion wrestler. And we looked at each other like, okay, this, you know, this kid had serious athleticism, and he was on the spectrum.
Yeah, we were surprised over and over again by the variety and by this. Yeah. You know, the experience was really special in making the movie.
And last, Ben, what do you get as a director that's different from what you get as an actor?
Well, you know, as an actor, you have to. The movies are all about the director. I mean, that's, I've learned that. Finally, and that's really so when you work with a director, you're on his or her ship, and you're going in that direction, and your job is to be creative and bring forth your ideas, but fulfill this person's vision of how they're telling their whole story. You have a silo that you're responsible for in your performance, and to me, it's about getting as attuned to the director as possible, and trying to follow through with, you know, with their vision and make their movie, and you know, it's very satisfying to feel like you're on the same page with someone like Gavin, who's also really interested and engaged and thoughtful and thought provoking as the process is going on. And the nice thing about acting is that like the set falls down, you can just go back to your trailer. Be back when you figure it out. So many things are not my problem. That's very, very nice.
Ben, JK, you seem to be having a great time in that one scene you almost kind of sort of had together in this. I'm wondering, you know, now that you've been back together working on Justice League, what was that like for the two of you?
Well, for me, it was, another example of me being a supporting guy and getting to work with Ben again. And certainly our...
He's sick of it, you can tell.
No, I'm trying to wrap my brain around the whole the director is God thing. Because there might be that going on in the future, too. So, wow, what am I in for now?
That was aimed at you.
Kind of thought so. No, it's, you know, I mean, obviously, this movie was a real treat to contribute to on every level. I completely echo what Ben was saying about, you know, about what your function is as an actor in a film, and my function in this was, you know, to serve the story and to fit into the story we're telling about the main character, and to be, you know, a part of the puzzle, because so many of the characters in this movie, you know, there are things that surprise you about them, you know, either early on or throughout the film or later on. You know, all the characters, all the major characters in the movie are multifaceted and have a lot going on, and there are things that are revealed as we go that are really interesting and smart and fun. And I probably didn't remotely answer whatever the question was that you asked, but I'm done talking now.
Okay, Ben, you try to answer
it. It was great to work with JK again. I wish we had a chance to do more, and I think hopefully we will in the future. So it was a nice tease. It's also really cool when you do a part of a movie. You don't know what the other actors are doing when it's kind of compartmentalized like this story. So it's a real treat to get to go and, you know, sit down and watch the movie for the first time and go, oh, that's what, you know, they were doing, and that's what they're up to. Or, geez, I really should have brought my A game. They're pretty good. it's just sort of like seeing the special effects get put into a movie. You know what I mean? You're just out there with a green screen and a tennis ball, and then you watch the movie, and it's like, you know, an asteroid careening toward Earth or something. And it was similarly pleasantly exciting and surprising that how great these guys' storyline was in the movie, and how much it carried the film, and how tight the acting is, and how sharp. It was really, I was just psyched to be in a movie with them.
Great. Well-